Hello and welcome to the Sega Nerdcast 13. This is Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me today I have Graham and Nathan. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Hello, how are you, Chris? How are you, Graham?
We have a really great show today for all of our listeners. We've been playing some newly released Sega games that have been both released here in America and some that weren't even released in America. And we also have a really awesome interview with a couple of the cool guys at Bizarre Creations about the club, and we asked them some really hard-hitting questions that I'm sure everyone's dying to hear. So you gotta sit and listen to us chat in the app for a little bit before you get to that, but it's good stuff, so we gotta stay with us. So Graham, tell us how your week's been going, buddy.
Well, I had a pretty crappy week at work. I got yelled at by my center manager, basically.
Who's your manager?
Sorry, what?
Who's your manager? Is it a guy or a girl?
It's a guy. And he's normally quiet, sort of. He's normally a nice guy, but...
Why did he yell at you?
There's, like, in my department, there's, like, a message board, and, like, if we can't hit our quota for, like, our work, we're meant to, like, write up reasons why we might not be able to. And right now, I'm stupidly understaffed, because, I don't know if you know, Nathan, but I've been promoted to supervisor.
So, my goodness, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm, like, in charge of, like, people now.
So now you know the headaches of management and being in charge of other people.
Yeah, sort of. But, basically, I'm really understaffed, and on this message board, I wrote up that I've, like, got no staff, basically, and that's why I can't hit the quota. And then someone wrote underneath
it... Do you use, like, the message board, like, lingo, too? Like, LOL and, you know... That kind of stuff that you post pictures and all kinds of silly stuff. It's a forum, right?
No.
Oh, you gotta have fun with it, man.
I can't meet quota QQ draw your face.
God.
So anyway, so you got yelled at. So
yeah, the reason why I got yelled at was because someone left a note on the board basically saying that saying get the supervisor to work 7 hours. But we work 7 hours for the day, and part of my job is like doing lots of like paperwork and like sorting out all this crap basically, and it's almost impossible for me to get through the other work for full 7 hours. I can maybe do like 5 hours of the work, but the rest of the time I've got to do all like the main supervisor work. So I wrote a really arsey message underneath, like about saying how I can't do it and stuff, and also I'm wasting time replying to stupid messages like on the board. And
nice.
And
I
had to go in the next day, like, because I work nights. I don't really get to see the manager or anything, because he works days. And then, but I had to actually go in during the day for a meeting. I went into the meeting and everything was okay. And then after the meeting, I said to the manager, "Can I just have a word with you?" And I was like, "Who the hell wrote that message on the board?" And he just like, "That was me." And then he had a massive go at me about it. And he's like, "I don't appreciate this." And like, he had a massive go at me.
And you were like being a smartass, dude.
Yeah, basically. Dude. But
what did you say to him?
I basically explained why I wrote it. He saw reason in the end. It's just that he thought what he wrote wasn't that bad. He thought he just wrote try and do as much as you can. But the way he wrote it was like really arsey and stuff. So I wrote an arsey one back at him. And the thing is, my shift manager read it as well, and he basically told me to write an arsey message back. So in a way, it's my shift manager's problem. Yeah, I got into a lot of trouble for it, but yeah, it sort of works out a bit, I guess. But yeah, that's good.
Exciting.
So my manager's got it in for me
now.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Well, take him down, Nathan. Kill him and take his job.
Yeah. Right, Nathan, what are you doing?
What about you, Nathan? Okay. Yeah, you always have exciting stuff to talk to us about.
Yeah, well, I missed the last Nerdcast. I feel kind of out of it.
Yeah, haven't been here forever, it seems like.
Yeah, well, I've been busy with school and all that.
Yeah, all the unimportant stuff in life.
Yeah, well, I'll be graduating in a couple months and I need to start looking for a job.
Ooh. But what are you thinking about doing?
I'm in journalism, so hopefully writing for some publication or website that I find interesting. That's basically my only criteria.
Are you looking at it for like maybe like Cat Fancy?
Yeah. I love cat
pets. I hear they're hiring.
You would know.
Yeah. I love cats.
Me too. Cats are great.
So awesome. What if like some sort of magazine owner's like listening to it now? What would you say to him to get your job? Come on.
Wait, what?
if a magazine like owner or whatever is like listening to this right now, what would you say to try and inspire him to give you a job?
Oh, I love cats.
Well, he's Asian, so he's gonna work hard.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Bring more racial stereotypes.
that goes without saying.
That's how you get a
it's
job.
Like Chris can only think in racial stereotypes.
That's it. That's all I do.
Yeah, but awesome. I started spring break today. Well, I guess we're recording on Friday, so I mean, I'm on spring break right now. And
it's Saturday night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gosh, yeah, it's Saturday right now. See, I'm out of it. I pulled an all-nighter Thursday night and Friday morning because I had a test on Friday morning in my last class, and then I went home after that and kind of took a nap for a bit, and then my friend called me, and then some other friends came over, and we did some stuff, and then I ended up staying up all night to record this, and it is now 7:45 a.m., and I haven't had a full night's sleep in, like, 3 days.
Nice. You know, I hear crack cocaine is, like, a real good pick-me-up for that kind of stuff.
If it is, I don't know where to get any, and I don't think I'd be...
You live in Austin, man. It's everywhere.
I've never tried any illegal drugs, okay?
Oh. You haven't lived yet. Wow. You need to.
Anyway, Chris.
Okay, on with that.
Yeah, we all sound tired.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Kids, don't do drugs.
Here. Yeah, those were jokes. Guam, we recently made the headlines throughout the world, really.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
We were home to the first ever B2 crash. We only had 21 of them in our entire inventory, and one of them crashed
in Guam
a few weeks ago. So yeah, not good stuff. They're like $2 billion aircraft, like per aircraft, it's $2 billion worth.
Wow.
So that was not good, and it involved a lot of long hours at work and much other stuff. So we're trying to get past that right now. Also, I have to be studying for promotion because at the end of the month I test for technical sergeant, and it's basically E6 for the grade. So if I can test and score well, I get promoted to tech sergeant, and I can make a lot more money. And that'd be
cool.
Nice. So
that's good.
Cool. Promotions all around then.
Only problem is I haven't studied at all yet, and I need to start studying soon.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
What kind of stuff do they trust you on?
There's two tests that we have to take. One is on basic, like, Air Force knowledge. And we have actually a book that has all that information on it. Then they test you another one on your job. And you have books on those as well, and you just have to study both of them. And, you know, you test against everyone else in your, like, there's a certain percentage of who they're going to promote. Say, like, they'll promote 20% of all eligible people. In that, you know, time frame, and you just have to score in that percentile to make it, really. So it's really competitive. Tech sergeant's one of the hardest ranks to make in the enlisted corps, at least for the Air Force. So, you know, I probably won't make it this first time. Very few people actually do, so.
Well, that's a winner's attitude right there.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, I figure if I set myself up for disappointment right now, when it actually happens, I won't feel so bad.
Ah, God.
So that's usually, you know,
that's the gay way to approach
things. That's kind of
that's pathetic.
My mantra. Yeah. You know,
yeah. Where's that American can-do attitude? Damn it, that's not how you won the war.
In other news, you know, you guys probably know that I've been a longtime blogger at PS Fanboy, also, in addition to writing for the wonderful Sega Nerds. Well, I resigned just recently. I decided to call it quits with them for a multitude of reasons, really. I don't really want to get into a whole lot about it. on here, just because a lot of it, some of it's petty, some of it's management issues and things like that, that I felt that the site was just mismanaged for a long time and some other silly things. So, you know, I just figured, you know what, I don't need this in my life right now. It was good pay for a little bit, but, you know, I don't need the money. And it just got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore. You know, I write for fun, especially, you know, on Sega Nerds when I'm writing, I'm always having fun. And I think that's one of the great things about our site is when we do write, we're having fun, and we try to have a good atmosphere on, at least, you know, in the behind the scenes, we try to keep a loose atmosphere between the staff, and, you know, we have fun with it, and that's just wasn't happening over there. And, you know, I just decided that the time was right just to call it quits. So I did it, and I think there was an immediate impact on Sega Nerds because I've posted about 15 articles in the last like 2 or 3 days. So that's good stuff. So
yeah.
I think I'll be able to keep it up, and now I have more time for Sega Nerds, and that's
other
good.
Other upcoming good site everyone. Projects.
What's that?
And other upcoming site projects.
Exactly. That we'll announce in the near future. So, that's pretty much what we've been doing this week. A lot of fun stuff. But now I think it's time for us to talk a little bit about what we've been playing this week. So, Graham, why don't you hop into that?
Okay. Do you want me to go first then? Yep.
I want you to go first.
Fantastic. Okay. I actually recently completed Frontlines: Fuel of War, fairly new FPS game. I don't know how long it's been out for in America, but it came out recently in England.
I
accidentally pre-ordered the game at GameStop. I meant to get a different game. And I popped it in and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" I got the demo and I was really disappointed, but it wasn't a bad game. But you tell us about it.
Well, to be honest, I think it's actually a pretty good game. I played the demo as well, and I didn't think the demo was that great, but I saw the game for quite cheap over here, so I went for it. And I actually thought it was quite good because it's like a sort of semi-futuristic war kind of game, like FPS, and like it basically each. Campaign, you're like in a big sort of war zone kind of area, and unlike a lot of like games like the Call of Duty games or whatever, you actually feel more like you are in a proper war zone. Like it's like quite big open areas.
Says the guy who hasn't played Call of Duty 4.
I've played bits of Call of Duty 4. I haven't got the full game.
I'm telling you right now, Call of Duty 4 owns everything. Any war game, Call of Duty 4 is head and shoulders above.
Okay,
I was a non-believer, but I finally picked it up, and it's an amazing game.
Okay. You love it so much, why don't you marry it?
if it had a tits and a vagina, I most certainly would.
I hope your wife isn't listening to this.
No, she's in another room, thank God. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, compared to Call of Duty 2 and 3 and the Medal of Honor games, you feel like you're in a proper war zone, and the maps are pretty open, like... rather than being guided to each like mission objective, you can sort of, you normally have like two or three mission objectives at the same time, like go and destroy this or go and capture that or whatever. But you can sort of, you can go about it wherever you want. You can go through the level like in different routes and stuff, and go on the roof of buildings and climb up ladders and things, whatever. It's a bit more open. Although that said, it's probably not the best FPS game ever. I wouldn't say that by a long shot, but it's pretty good fun. I think if you can get it. Like reasonable price, then go for it because it's pretty cool. I had a lot of fun with it, and the online multiplayer is meant to have like up to 32 people at once, which I haven't tried out yet, but that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've also been playing Sonic Riders Zero Gravity for the Wii.
Oh yeah, that new one, right?
I haven't played that yet.
I actually quite like it a lot.
Did you like the first one?
I only played the demo of the first one. I thought it was okay, but I didn't think it was that amazing. But yeah, this is actually pretty good fun. It's a lot harder than I expected.
Like the first Sonic Riders, I tried to play that, and that one was really hard to
Yeah, it took me like 10 goes to complete the first like track. So, because you have to come in the story mode, you have to come first to progress to the next like track, and it took me so many goes to do the first few. Once you get used to the controls and like the way the game plays, you do actually get better. But it's always a challenge. That's the thing. Like even when I'd like gotten good at it and I could win pretty much all the time, I was still having to struggle to actually win the races, which I actually quite liked a lot, because I hate games where you sort of start off slow, but once you get good at it, you just keep winning, like, instantly. But, yeah.
Was the AI cheap, though? Like,
no, that's the thing. Like, the AI's not that cheap. It's, they just seem to, like, well, they seem to race just pretty well. That they, I wouldn't say they're, like, cheating or anything like that, so.
That's one of the things I hate, like, in, like, especially the Mario Kart games.
Oh, God, yeah.
On the harder difficulty settings, like, the AI doesn't get any better. It just gets a lot cheaper.
Yeah, no, it's...
That's pretty much, you know, par for the course throughout the entire... all of the gaming, really. There's very few games where you're right. There's, but that's more the exception. I think most games, when you up the difficulty, it's just, you know, the enemies have more life, or you know, your attacks do less damage, or they're just faster, or silly things like that. But it's nice when games can actually make the AI more intelligent. You know, when you up your difficulty rather than nerfing you or making them, you know, stronger. So
yeah,
I don't know if that has anything to do with anything we're talking about, but
sort of. Yeah, well, sort of like a tale. Sonic Riders only got like one difficulty setting, but yeah, it's pretty challenging. That's what I can say. And it's actually a lot of fun.
It's on the Wii, right?
And the
PS2. I've been playing the Wii version, which...
Controls have you been using? I hear you can use the GameCube controller and like for more traditional stuff, or the Wii Remote. I hear the Wii Remote controls aren't that good.
It depends. The Wii Remote you can use in two different ways. You can either hold it like the sort of virtual console style, like a NES controller on its horizontal.
And NES? NES?
NES. Yeah, NES, you know.
I don't know anybody that says NES except you.
It's a lot of the Europeans do that.
Yeah.
Man, crazy Europeans.
Okay, yeah. Would you call the Super Nintendo then?
Super Nintendo.
Okay, when it's SNES. You call it the SNES.
Yeah,
okay.
And if I ever said SNES, it was SNES, not SNES.
Yeah, we say SNES, because that's what it is.
We call it N64.
Yeah, N64. What do you say? N64?
Now that would be retarded. Come on.
What's retarded is SNES. SNES sounds like somebody that doesn't know how to say the past tense of sneeze. Yeah, I SNESed.
God, nice. That's funny.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, as you were.
Yeah, you can control it in different ways. God damn. God damn. yeah, you can either hold it like, like Excite Truck on the Wii. Have you played that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you can hold it like that, so you can sort of tilt it to steer, and that's pretty inaccurate.
It's not accurate, though, yeah.
It's terrible. I actually thought that was terrible.
So. Okay.
Yeah, and to accelerate and brake, you have to sort of twist it forward and back to...
I hate that. It's like that Sonic game that, just those controls really bug
me. Or with the Wiimote, you sort of hold it horizontally, and it's almost like you're pointing at the screen, almost like you've got a pointer on the screen, and you can sort of steer that way, like you sort of point the roughly direction you want to go. And that is actually pretty good. Once you get used to it, it's actually really good, it's really accurate. And then you've got the GameCube controller, obviously, but that is terrible.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why is that terrible? Because to
actually accelerate and stuff, you have to hold down the analog stick forward. But you've got to turn at the same time.
You can't hold down a button?
No. You have to hold down the
analog
stick.
Are you sure?
Well, on the set, when I played it, it only had three options, which is the two Wiimotes and then the GameCube controller, and you had to hold down forward.
There's no way to hold a button down to accelerate?
The other buttons do jump and stuff, so...
I think this came up in a discussion on one of my other sites at the GHZ, and I didn't really pay attention, but I think that several people at the GHZ said that there is a way to accelerate using a button and forward on the stick.
I'd have to find out about that, but...
I'd have to look into it now, but yeah. I don't remember. That's what I remember reading now.
That's one thing that annoyed me. I was thinking, okay, these Wiimote controls are pretty tricky, so I think I'll try out the GameCube controller. And I tried it out, and I was like, this is terrible. it's just so hard to...
So basically the game controls like crap. Is there one good control scheme at all?
The horizontal style.
I like the one where you point at the screen.
Yeah, the horizontal style was actually quite good. I quite like that. I mean, It took me a few goes to get used to it, but once I got
so
used
weird,
to it,
though.
Yeah, it is weird when you first start using it. It's quite weird, but it becomes really natural after a while. And it's just like it just feels natural, basically, towards the end of it. And after I started using it, I was like winning the races. So yeah, but that's like probably
that's good.
Yes, that is good. But overall, it's a pretty fun game. Yeah, and last.
Wait, are you going to review it for the site, or?
I have actually written up a review, and I'm yet to post it. I've got to edit it. It's way too long. It's like.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's like 2,500 words.
I think we were going to like try and work out some new review policy stuff soon. Anyway.
Yeah, and actually, you're going to be talking about that later on in the Nerdcast.
Oh right. Okay. So yeah, I'll try and do a short intro to it later.
Cool. Yep.
And one last game.
Is that all you've been playing?
One last game.
No, that can't be
quickly.
Good. That
yeah,
can't
you know
Jeremy's
me.
Always playing.
Actually, I'm excited about this one.
You are?
Yeah, okay. No, I really am.
Okay, so. It's Endless Ocean on the Wii.
Yay!
Ooh. I've actually only just literally started playing it. I've only played it for like 2 or 3 hours, and it's pretty good, I guess.
Tell us what it's about.
As far as I can tell from what I've played of it, you're swimming around in the ocean looking for stuff. There you go. I'm sure that there's probably some sort of storyline or something, but I haven't got that far into the game yet.
Yeah.
Well, exciting.
I saw it at the store, and I almost bought it for my daughters because I thought it'd be a really cool game for them just to hang out and play, because it didn't seem like there was much of a storyline to it from what I read about. Just from the back of the box, it would seem like you just kind of swim around and you scuba dive under the ocean, and you just kind of hang out and look at stuff under the water. And it seems just like a very cool casual game for them.
Yeah,
it seems like something that they would like.
I think for like the family and stuff and people who like who've just bought a Wii recently, it's actually quite a cool game because you get used to the controls and stuff, and it's actually really relaxing. It's surprisingly the graphics are pretty good as well. For the Wii, especially. I mean, when you look at it.
I was talking to. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say when you look at it, it does look pretty good, basically. Carry on.
Yeah, I was talking to James also. You know, from the staff, and he was telling me that there's also an online mode too. So
yeah.
You can actually meet up with a friend, and you can both go diving together.
Yeah, I saw that on the back of the box. Yeah, you can swim around with a friend or whatever, and do stuff together. Haven't tried it out yet because I've got no Wii friends. So, well, I've got a couple.
Aww.
Like you, and I think Nathan's on my friend list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. But
Wait, is it engaging? That looks kind of like it looks really open ended, but like almost to the point where there doesn't seem to be much of an objective other than to like swim around and look at stuff.
Yeah. Well, right now that's pretty much all you're doing, like swimming around looking at stuff. But they keep giving you sort of. Right now I'm being asked to like look at certain things, and then they go, okay, that's it for the day. If you want to come up back to the boats, you can, or you can keep swimming. So I think later on you do get different things you can do. I'm not sure. To be honest, I'll probably have to talk about it like another time when I've actually played it enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's me done.
Okay.
Do you want to go, Chris?
All right, well, yeah, sure thing. I've been playing a couple of games, actually, and they're both Nintendo DS titles, and that's what's weird because I literally haven't played my Nintendo DS in probably about 4 or 5 months.
Same here.
Professor Layton is one of them, and it is an incredibly awesome game. It's basically just it's just a bunch of puzzles, really. And
why don't you tell me why this game is better than any other DS? Puzzle collection game, because like as we all know, the DS has plenty of those already to begin
right.
with.
Well,
so what makes this one stand out?
It's not like the normal like brain teaser type of games, like where you just do simple math puzzles or things like that. These are actually ones that you take time and they're more, they're a lot more complex and they're a lot harder. Where you actually have to take time and you know sit and really 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 look at the situation and try to find it. The difficulty in these are a lot harder than the ones that, you know, the ones that are the more popular titles out there, like Brain Training and all that other crap. Just the art direction's really, really kind of cool, with the game. The writing's really, really quirky and fun. And there's just, I don't know, it's just a really cool game. Basically, it's you and you're this kid, and you're riding along with this guy, Professor Layton, and he's kind of like a detective. And you're going to this town where you're trying to find a golden apple that's hidden somewhere in the town. And everyone you talk to, before you ask them something or you need something from them to get to, you know, the next objective or whatever, but everyone makes you do a puzzle, really, before they will tell you anything. So it's basically a series of puzzles strung together through a storyline.
Right.
And what's really cool, though, is every week, the developer, Level 5, they come out with a new free downloadable puzzle that you can do, and they're extremely hard. To make it a little bit easier, though, throughout the game, you can find these hidden coins, you can use them to buy hints. So there's three hints in each and every puzzle, and the more hints you buy, the easier it becomes, and the more it tells you. So in that respect, it makes it a little bit easier, but some of them are just really, really hard. So yeah. It's a really cool game so far. I'm really enjoying it. It's definitely worth the $30, and I was really surprised because my wife has been playing the hell out of it. She's probably been playing it more than I have, and it's really cool when I can finally get my wife playing a game, and, you know, she's actually sometimes better at it than I am, and I like that too. So
yeah,
a really cool game.
I think I'll try it out because Hudson was telling me a lot of good things about it also, and I really like Level 5 as a developer because they make some good games.
Cool.
Do
you know if it's being released in Europe?
It should be. I mean, the art direction looks, to me at least, I think it's based in Europe.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it's like released in Europe.
I would assume it would be, though. I mean, it's definitely an awesome game. It would be a shame if it wasn't. So, the other game I'm playing, though, is Mystery Dungeon Shiren the Wanderer. It's probably the most recent release from Sega, and I just got it in actually this morning. UPS dropped it off at my house, and I've been playing it quite a bit. It's actually, I think the game was released years ago, and it was just ported to the DS by Chunsoft, and I'm not a big fan of the Mystery Dungeon series, or actually I've never played them before, before this game, but apparently it's quite a big series, at least in Japan, and they're just now bringing them over here. They recently did a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, or a Pokemon Dungeon style game. Nathan, I figured you'd play that.
These are all like roguelikes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of a neat game, I guess. It's, you know, all, it's a top-down
RPG.
You know, like,
it's kind of like an RPG, but I don't know. If anybody else knows the concept of roguelikes, I'm not really familiar with it, and I don't really like them that much.
Yeah, I honestly, up to this game, I haven't really been too familiar with them either. But there's I don't know. It's probably too early for me to, you know, give my full impressions about the game. But so far, it's kind of cool. Definitely very, very Japanese-inspired. I mean, everything about the game, you know.
It's just a port of the Super Nintendo one, right?
Yeah, I think so. But like I said, I don't know too much about the game. I just started playing today. I've maybe put in about an hour and a half into it so far. Pretty cool games so far, but yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing this week. So, what about you, Nathan?
Well, I haven't really been playing much as usual because school and all that keeps me busy. But when I do have time, and now that I do on spring break, I'll probably be playing a lot of Team Fortress 2. If you guys have heard of that, it's basically like Graham was saying that his game Frontline is probably not the best shooter ever. I think Team Fortress 2 is one of the best shooters ever. It's just amazingly fun and really, really great competitive online multiplayer shooter. It's got 9 different classes and they all play very differently, and the game is really well balanced, and it's just really easy to have a lot of fun. You can jump in, and there's all the different classes play differently, so there's something to fit the style for everybody.
Was that the PC version you say you got?
Yeah, I'm playing the PC version.
Okay.
Why would I play a shooter on, like, with a controller? It's mouse, keyboard, or fun. Nothing.
It's fun, damn it.
Oh, come on.
No. If you're going to play Team Fortress 2, just play it on the PC or don't play it at all, please. I'm telling you. You don't want to play the console versions because on top of that, the PC version has been receiving lots of updates like constantly with a lot of fixes and new maps and content and stuff while the console versions haven't received anything.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
That's weird. I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's just because...
It's actually an issue with the Microsoft and Sony and how they want to charge for content and stuff. Valve was saying that they, the developers, they said they wanted to release the PC content for free on the console versions, but it's actually up to Microsoft and Sony.
Right.
So that's why it's taking so long.
Okay.
I've also been playing Audio Surf, which is available on Steam also.
What
it's
the
like
hell
a...
is that?
An independent developed music game. It's kind of like Frequency or Amplitude, if you guys have played that.
Nope.
It basically, it's like kind of like a racing game almost. You like drive around on a track kind of like F-Zero, and except you're not racing anybody, you're just riding on a track. And the coolest part is you actually load any song file on your computer, like any MP3s you have, and the game will make a custom built track based on that the MP3 data, so every song is different, and like all the turns and bumps and whatever just go along with the music and the beat, and then you have to like hit blocks or avoid blocks to get points, and there's a bunch of different ways to play it, like 14 different modes.
Cool.
It's actually really, really cool. It's only $10 on Steam.
How are the graphics? What does it look like?
It looks really
like,
nice. It's really stylized.
Cool.
It's kind of like... Oh, I don't know. It's really simplistic, I guess. Like, the graphics are mostly either white or black, and then, like, the track is either mostly white or black, and then there's a lot of effects and stuff, and then the colored blocks, and whenever you hit stuff, like, there's a lot of effects on the screen and all that. You have to see it in action. Like, there's a lot of videos and stuff, and there's actually a free demo on Steam, so you also should just try it.
Okay. Yeah, I should download that Steam.
Yeah, I've been telling you to get it.
For months,
yeah.
If not years.
So yeah, try it. And there's also like online scoreboards and all that, so you can see what other the songs that other people are playing and like compete with them and all that. It's really, really cool.
Okay. Is that all you've been playing this week?
I've also been playing some Nights into Dreams on the PlayStation 2.
Nice.
Yeah, for those that don't know, it was ported to the PlayStation 2 only in Japan, and it was recently released like last week or 2 weeks ago or something, and so Hudson imported a copy, and so we got together and played the hell out of it, like 6 hours straight.
Oh,
unlocked everything. Took a lot of pictures and videos that I haven't had time to put up on the site yet, but I will, and we'll have a write-up and a review and all that.
Can you tell us anything about it? Like how good?
What do you want to know?
Well,
ask any questions you want.
Is it as good as
the? Ah, you bastard.
I was going to say, is it as good as the Saturn version? Like when now you're playing it again, like on the PlayStation 2.
I'd have to say it's like I don't know if I can compare the two really because it's the exact same game. So for basically, I mean, if you love the Saturn game, it's the exact same game just on the PlayStation 2, and the best part is it's on the PlayStation 2. At a higher resolution with better graphics.
Yeah, how are the graphics? Like the graphics, does it actually look like good? Like now the graphics have been redone, or does it just
it
look
doesn't,
like?
It doesn't look like as good as like I guess most PlayStation 2 games, but it looks it just looks way better than the Saturn version. Like everything is at a higher resolution, and the draw distance is a lot farther out, so you can see like way more of the level at a time. It actually looks a lot better in motion. And just, it looks really, really slick. No slowdown, like, really sharp frame rate and everything. It just, it looks beautiful in motion.
Cool.
How well does the PS2 controller, the DualShock 2, work?
I think it works great, and this is something else that Hudson agrees with me and will probably show up in the review when we write it, is that, like, you know how the PlayStation 2 analog joystick is circular? So you have full, like, full true 360-degree freedom on the stick, which is exactly like the way the Saturn stick was. So it's a really good match, I think. especially since the Saturn analog pad was kind of primitive as far as like design goes, because it was one of the first to have that kind of thing. So, I mean, right. PlayStation 2 controller, the form factor has been around for so long and still is around today with the PlayStation 3. So, you know, it's one of those tried and true things. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're all comfortable holding the PlayStation 2 controllers. So. Oh, excuse me.
That's right.
Yeah, I think it works out really well. And it was one of the issues that both Hudson and I had with the Wii version, Journey of Dreams, the sequel, how like you have notches in the joystick.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to get like some of those precise, like really sharp turns like down right, but it.
Yeah, because it's really an octagonal layout with the analog, so it's almost like an 8-point, you know,
yeah,
analog.
Yeah, exactly. So I found myself like missing a lot of rings and all that just because I wasn't pushing the pushing like the way I wanted to, because I kept falling into the notches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was unfortunate.
But there's no problems like that on the PlayStation 2, so.
Cool.
How import friendly is it?
Hudson just ordered it off PlayAsia. That's play-asia.com. And it arrived really fast. No real problems. And I mean, the biggest problem is, you have to have like a way to play imported games on your PlayStation 2.
Right.
So that involves like generally some sort of mod or whatever.
Being naughty.
Well, as long as I'm not playing illegal copies, right?
Yeah.
But is it pretty easy to navigate the menus and everything like that? Is there any English?
It's like it's almost all in English. All the menus are in English. Like, we took pictures of everything just to show you all, and those will be up on the site soon. But wow. Yeah, like pretty much the only stuff, like whenever the game saves or whatever, that's in Japanese, and some of the dialogue is in there's some voiceover stuff from some of the extras and all that, but like all the main menu options and all that, it's all in English.
Cool. That's okay, kind of nice. Weird.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
all right. Why don't you take us right on into the next segment, Nathan?
Okay. Up next is our feature, The Good, The Bad, and The Other Thing, where we cover three different interesting aspects of the gaming news world, I guess, over the past week or so. In this Nerdcast, the good thing is Sega of Japan is preparing some sort of event for the Dreamcast's 10th anniversary at the website dreamcast.com. You can register your Dreamcast serial number there and get an email account. I actually don't know too much about this because I just found out about it a few minutes ago. So, who posted that on the site? Was that you, Graham?
It was actually Graham, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, Graham, why don't you tell us more about that?
Oh, great. I don't actually know that much about it, to be honest. I just saw...
You wrote the post, so you tell us about it.
Jesus. Well, here's the thing. I don't even think it's for the 10th anniversary thing.
Oh, but
some
who
people
wrote
said,
that?
Some
there's
people
nothing
said,
official.
Everyone's speculating this for the 10th anniversary,
all
but
right,
like...
I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. Take that back, then.
In Japan, the Dreamcast released in like November, so it's a bit weird. Like, why Sega would be doing it if it's a 10th anniversary thing? They seem to be doing it quite early in the year, don't they? Whereas,
yeah. Right, November 98.
Yeah,
is when it was released. Man.
So, where did you hear about this then? And
a friend of Ryan in real life told him about it, and there's like a post on the Sega boards, there's some guy wrote on the Sega Awards about it, basically.
Wow. So we really have no idea, like, what this is actually for.
No.
They
don't really say on the Sega website either. They're basically just asking, do you still own a Dreamcast? And you can... It's got, like, a big thing saying, do you still own a Dreamcast? And if you click on it, you can register your Dreamcast and get your own sort of Dreamcast, like, account thing.
An email address or something?
Yeah, like a sort of own email account, which says like something at user.dreamcast.com, depending on like what your account is going to be set up as. We're not sure what it is, and the link is actually called DC Promo 2008, so yeah, your guess is as good as mine, really.
Well, let the speculation begin.
Yeah.
Check out the post on the site.
Yeah.
Graham would send me all this information, like, oh my gosh, I think Sega's going to be supporting the Dreamcast again in Japan.
No, don't get your hopes up too high.
I was saying it as like a joke, but that'd be pretty cool, eh? I could just imagine all the Dreamcast fans, well, all the Sega fans going, oh, Dreamcast being re-released, woo! So, well, we don't know what it is, really. Hopefully, we'll find out soon enough, but right now, your guess is as good as ours, really.
Yeah, maybe it's just an email address and nothing more.
Yeah, maybe. But it just seems a bit weird while they're asking, do we still own Dreamcast, and when you actually sign up for it, they ask you to put in your Dreamcast serial number, so...
Yeah, so why do you need a serial number just to get an email address?
Yeah.
What's weird, though, is your actual... When you register and put your serial number in, that's actually the username for your email address and your account when you sign in.
So. Are you serious? So you have to use that to log in every time? Who the hell is going to memorize their Dreamcast serial number?
Well, what's even more weird, though, or stupid, the email you get only gives you your username and password. There's no other information or instructions to, you know, actually access this email account. So, yeah, I don't know. It's all really weird right now.
So, it's still not even fully implemented yet?
It does. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it is. It seems like my account's been created, but I haven't been sent any instructions at all as far as how to access my email account.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I haven't even received any email from it. I signed up for it, and I haven't got anything back from Sega at all. So, screw
that. Did you check your spam folder or something?
Yeah, I did.
Might have gotten filtered out. Oh.
I checked my spam, and yeah. I don't know.
Honestly, is this something that you're actually going to use ever, this email account?
Probably not, but I'm interested to see what it's all about, because it's just a bit weird if they're just giving us an email account. What the hell's that for? But... I don't know.
Maybe it's a big thing in Japan.
I was just wondering, maybe Sega Japan are thinking about doing something with Dreamcast Online scene or something, like maybe setting up the servers again, seeing how many people still own Dreamcast and whatever. I don't know. That's just like one guess I had.
How many people still use 56K, though?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Shut up. I don't know.
Alright, well, moving on.
Yeah.
That was good, I guess. It's still kind of mysterious. We don't know much about it. The bad for this week is apparently some guy got a tattoo of, I guess it's just the letter P, S, and then 3. I guess it's standing for the PlayStation 3. That's all it is. It's not even the PlayStation 3 logo, like in the PS3 font or anything. He just got, the word PS3 tattooed on his body.
On his arm, I think.
Oh, was it on his arm? Is he from England or something?
Gotta hope not.
I think he is from the UK somewhere.
What?
Actually, on Destructoid, there's actually a small, they have a small quote from him.
Uh-huh.
And here's what he says about it. He says, "How is this really any different from any other tattoo people get done? It's my life, my choice, and I find people hating me for doing something that affects them in no way at all. I think that says a lot about the society we currently live in." Wow. So
basically, this guy's an idiot.
Exactly.
Graham,
so
do you know him?
Even more
is he your neighbor or something? Is he you? Is it actually you in disguise?
No way.
What I really can't wait is when Sony launches the PS4. I mean, what's this guy going to do then? And it's like, oh, that's not cool anymore. Or it never was cool in the first place, but it's going to get even less cool, you know, as the generations go on. So
it's funnier, though, because he looks like he's in his 40s or something.
Yeah.
How can you tell that?
What the hell's wrong with this guy?
How can you tell he's in his 40s? All I've got a picture of is an arm here.
Oh, I thought I saw a picture of his face. Alright, okay. I saw something else, actually. I don't know. It's late.
Yeah, whatever. Never mind. Cool.
Okay.
No, he is right. Yeah, he is right. Yeah, there's he posted it on Laptop Logic.
Oh yeah, I saw it there.
And he looks like a very strange man. He looks almost like Freddy Krueger without the makeup. So.
Oh yeah, I can see actually. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Oh my god.
This is definitely somewhere in England. You guys are fucked up.
Graham, Do you have any tattoos?
No. And
are you sure? Not even like one on your butt cheek that you don't want to tell us about?
God damn you.
Are you sure? Spill.
This guy online, he goes by the name of Three Speech on like one different forums. And that's actually one of the official Sony blogs, Three Speech. It's the UK Sony blog.
So is this guy just like a hardcore like Sony fan or something?
Apparently. This guy's a psycho. Jesus.
Yeah.
If you're a crazy Sony fan, you're psycho. If you're a crazy Sega fan, then you're cool.
Yeah, damn right. Yeah.
But you know what, though? I'd still make fun of anyone who got like a Sega tattoo, I think. Especially somebody if it just said Sega on it. I mean, you get a little bit more creative than that, I think.
And you're going to make Graham cry. That's his secret tattoo.
God damn you. Anyway.
Okay. The next thing, then, those are the bad. We've got the good, the bad. And now the other thing is, as of right now, this Saturday, here in the United States, Super Smash Bros. Brawl is going to be released tomorrow, Sunday. Or, for most of us, actually, at midnight tonight.
And you know what? It turned midnight here about 30 minutes ago. So people are probably playing it in Guam as we speak.
Do you have midnight launches in Guam?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're missing out. Because we all know, Sonic the Hedgehog is in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. So all you Sega fans that want to see Sonic kick some plumber ass for real, you can finally do that starting tonight.
That's right.
Great.
That's awesome. So are you guys pretty excited about this game then?
I'll probably get it, but I'm not as excited as everyone else is. I'm not that bothered.
No, I mean, I'm pretty excited. Like, I like all the Smash Brothers games. They're all really good party games. Good for playing with friends, and I'm excited about trying, playing as Sonic, so. Actually, like, one of my friends is gonna go pick it up at midnight tonight, and I'll probably go with him, and then we're gonna pull another all-nighter.
Oh, God, crazy
guy. All night.
Jesus. Yeah. See, I'm telling you,
I'm not getting much sleep. Yeah. Spring break is supposed to be about relaxing, right? I'm just, like, skipping sleep completely.
Or hanging out with a bunch of naked women.
Yeah. But you play games. That's your choice. I like it.
Well, it's not like I really have a choice, because if you gave me a bunch of naked women to hang out with, I would probably choose to hang out with them.
That's not the case.
That's the problem, though. Just the naked women choose not to hang out with you.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the problem we all suffer.
No, this is you.
You don't have to lie to make yourself feel better, okay? I know you, Graham.
Hey, I've got this crazy PS3 tattoo on my arm. The chicks love that sort of thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Super Smash Bros. Brawl, good stuff. It's kicking off tomorrow and right now in Guam.
It's got online play, so that means we got to try it out with each other.
Cool. Yeah, definitely got to do that. That'll be fun. I'm kind of late to the party, having never played a Super Smash Brothers game ever.
See, that amazes me, because you have young children, and like, they love that kind of stuff. It's like, and on top of that, it's a good game to play with like your friends and family, right? So you should bond with your daughters.
Maybe I'll do that. We'll see.
Yeah, better way to bond with your children than like kick their ass at a video game, right?
Yeah, or just do it in real life. Moving on.
We're going to call Child Protection Services on you someday.
Yeah, no kidding. Alright, it's time for the newsstand now. Some big news this week as far as the Sega and Sega Nerds goes. As you know, Graham posted a couple of weeks ago about a Sonic Chronicles naming contest where Sega was going to let their fans basically vote on different names for one of the enemy races in Sonic Chronicles, the new BioWare RPG. Sega also asked Sega Nerds to come up with one of those names that are going to be involved in the contest, and we argued for several days over what name we were going to choose, and there was quite a bit of names But we, narrowed them all down, and we finally decided on the Zoa, we submitted that, and the voting, the contest has gone live, and since then, everyone's crashed the servers, Sega servers, and now the website's pretty much broken, except Sega's finally been able to put up the poll. Pretty much that's it that you can access, but that's the important thing, I guess. You can still go vote. And Graham, I'll let you go ahead and name the rest of the choices. This is our competition. You know, we voted for the Zoa, but here's what everyone else chose.
Okay. But just to point out, it's the name of the race, not of actually a specific character. So, yeah. There's the Blue Chaos, and that's BLU Chaos, not with an E in it. So, yeah.
Are you sure it's pronounced Blue Chaos?
What
or
else?
If it's like Blah Chaos, or Blue Chows, or Blah Chows.
Yeah, well.
It could be French.
Yeah, that could be one of the French sites, yeah. The Crushers.
Either way, that's not very original.
Yeah.
So, okay,
it's
keep
not,
going.
Well, I guess it's maybe original, but it's shit.
Okay, we've also got The Crushers.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
This is one of my
kind of name that like your 4-year-old son would come up with. Yeah. Like, hey, Daddy, let's name them the Crushers.
I actually think that can't even be real. That has to be more of a joke. I mean, honestly, who would even vote for something like that?
Yeah, you have to be seriously retarded to vote for that.
That's like almost as bad as like the Bad Guys or the mean aliens from outer space or something.
The
like
meanies.
That. Yeah. Alright, what else do we got?
This is probably one of my favourite ones out of all of them. The Dark Nude. What the hell is that?
It's Dark Nude, N-O-O-D, not N-U-D-E, unfortunately.
Yeah. God damn it. You got the BioWare one, which is The Dusk. So BioWare actually chose that one. Well, I think the fans on the BioWare website chose it or something, so...
Really? Well, I'm going to make fun of it anyway, because it's also crap. What's that got to do with the aliens? Dusk? Dusk
Nothing.
Means, like, evening, or, when the sun's going down, right? It doesn't look...
Yeah.
It just... When I look at the... And we have a picture of the alien now on the site, it just... It does not fit. The name doesn't fit at all, so it's crap.
I agree.
Next up is the Gravitus. Which I believe is Latin for heavy.
Questionable pronunciation.
Right, but this is pretty interesting because one of the names that we were actually arguing on and voting on was actually the Gravitas. Instead of Gravitas, it was Gravitas. It obviously didn't make the final selection, but that was kind of weird how close that one was to this one.
Maybe that means that's like a name that is what am I trying to say? Something that comes to mind immediately when you look at the picture of it. So maybe that's what should have won.
I don't know. But don't say that. No. I'm glad we didn't, because how stupid would that be if there was a Gravitas and Gravitas on there?
You'd think that somebody at Sega would email us back and tell us to send a different name.
Yeah, they probably would have done that. Yeah. The Gravitus means heavy, I believe, and Gravitas means energy, I've got a feeling. In Latin.
Is it?
Something like that. I did have some sort of Latin dictionary in my computer I can't find right now. moving on. We've got The Guardians. Which...
Very original.
Yeah. Although, there's one guy on our forums who seems to love that.
Oh, nice.
Do you know who... I can't remember who it was now.
What, somebody likes that name?
Yeah, on our forums, there's some guy who seems to like it. I can't remember who it is.
Like, what was it? Was like Dr. Sega Monkey or something like that?
Can we ban him?
We should. Because if they're bad guys and they're coming to like attack Sonic, why would they be guardians of anything?
Yeah.
It just makes no sense.
Maybe they're guarding.
On some more shitty names, Graham.
Yeah.
Not
cool.
Through yet.
now for probably the best one ever. The Ice Bow.
What the hell?
God, gotta love it. It's pretty original.
Looking at this word here, I-C-E-B-O, and just the word just reminds me of placebo, just because of the spelling.
It's so bad.
God, that's bad. Holy crap.
This is one that's probably, it's still shitty, but it's not as bad as anything else.
These were all submitted by other community sites, so these other sites must be filled with retards.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You hear that, other sites? Y'all suck.
Okay, the next one is the Psycore, which I think some sort of reference to a game, someone told me, but I don't know.
Really?
That's P-S-Y-K-O-R-E.
It just looks, that word looks and sounds like the extreme 90s and comic books of that era. Sounds like the name of some supervillain from like X-Men in the 90s, at least to me.
Yeah.
Or like Psylocke.
Yeah, exactly.
X-Men.
X-Woman.
Yeah, but she was hot though. Purple
damn
hair.
Right.
I loved her. Nerd alert.
Oh, yeah.
And wait, finally, but certainly not least, what do we have, Graham?
Oh, we have the fantastically wonderful, brilliant The Zoa.
Oh, my God. Who came up with that?
I know. Those people must be sexy. Oh, damn sexy. And in case you're wondering, so this is to anyone who doesn't know yet, we've actually chosen, one of the reasons why we chose the name is actually a reference to Panzer Dragoon Saga, the brilliant Sega Saturn RPG, which is actually the name of the forest in the game, which burns down towards the end, but yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a Sega fan, sort of like an ode to that game kind of thing, like Sega reference, which is...
Not only is our name badass and awesome, it's also a Sega Nerd reference.
Damn right.
Yeah, that's one of the things we wanted to do, is we wanted to come up with a good name, but we also wanted to pay homage to kind of, you know, just the history of Sega, and we wanted to have a little bit more meaning than just some random name that we thought sounded cooler, you know, or anything like that. So
Blue
we
Chaos.
Came up with that. Yeah, so... Blue Chaos. So yeah, I think the Zoa is definitely cool, and it means something. So it's not just a random name that we, you know, just thought up.
Psycore.
This is something that means something to hardcore Sega fans out there, and to real Sega nerds. They definitely know its meaning, and you know, we're counting on you guys to vote and to pull us through, and hopefully. The Zoa will be the final name, and you know. Then I think Graham, if we get chosen, will we be in the game's credits?
Well, it hasn't been confirmed yet, but I was told that possibly we will actually have be mentioned in the game's credits. Then it'll basically when you complete the game or whatever, it should actually say like Sega Nerds or it should, hopefully it'll have all our names in it.
What it should say is every time the word Zoa appears in the game, it should have a link to Sega Nerds.
And they owe us $5.
Wait, shouldn't we get like some kind of money from this though?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there some kind of product like profit sharing that has to be done?
Well, I think we could talk to Sega about it.
Maybe talk to some of your people in Sega Europe and figure that out.
What we will promise is that if the Zoa wins, what we do know for sure is that Graham will post topless pictures of himself.
Damn right. And if that fails, we could probably have some sort of competition, just giving away some good prizes for you guys, hey? How's that? Good bribery there.
When is the poll going to end? Do we know?
March the 14th. And I think they said that...
So that's what, like next Thursday or Friday, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I think they're actually going to announce it on March the 15th when it's done.
Oh, like, so there's only a couple more days left to vote. So get voting.
Yeah. Voting. So go to your grandmother's and your parents' house, and you know, if you've already voted at your own house, go somewhere else and vote. Just keep voting.
Yeah, damn right. Go to a library. Use all the computers there. Or an internet cafe. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Big news out of Japan. Yakuza 3 just debuted, and it sold 113,000 copies in its first day, which is actually very, very huge. With that total, it makes it the fourth best-selling PS3 launch title or PS3 title in its first day in Japan. So basically, it's the fourth best-selling launch game in Japan of all time for the PlayStation 3.
That's good.
It's very, very huge for Yakuza 3. It looks like it's going to be a massive, massive game for Sega in Japan.
Just like the first two were. Like, I mean, the Yakuza series has sold really well in Japan. Unfortunately, it's not the case over here in America.
Well, we only have the first game right now. You know, we're going to be getting the second game sometime.
Are we still... Like, I know they announced it, but they haven't mentioned anything since then, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was kind of like swept under the rug, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it would be nice if... The thing is that it has... The second game has to be released here before Yakuza 3. If there's just no point to... If they're going to go ahead and you know...
Are the stories that linked? Like,
I'm sure they could stand alone,
kind of.
Yeah, because Yakuza 3 is set hundreds of years before, isn't it? So,
yeah.
I guess in a way it could be released on its own.
But still, but why would anyone who's a PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 owner go ahead and buy Yakuza 2 after they buy Yakuza 3 and is playing that? Unless they just wanted, you know, for continuity and just playing.
Exactly, that might be why they don't bring Yakuza 2 here. Because, I mean, Yakuza 1 did not sell well at all in America.
Yeah. Has Yakuza 3 been announced for Western release?
No.
No, it hasn't.
Not yet, no.
Okay.
It will be, though. I mean, well, if Sega's already announced Yakuza 2, they're definitely, most definitely going to be porting.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yakuza 1 didn't sell well. And, I mean, let's face it, we're at the end of the PlayStation 2's life cycle here already. So, I mean, if Yakuza 2 were to come out tomorrow... Like, here in America, it would already be late. Really, really late in the PlayStation 2 life cycle. So, I honestly would not be surprised if Yakuza 2 does not ever come out in the U.S.
Yeah. I'm not too familiar with Yakuza 2, but I know playing the first Yakuza, just graphically speaking, with what, you know, What's comparable to what's coming out right now on the PS3? I know God of War 2 was one of the most recent, you know, big titles that came out on the PS2, but I just don't think it can really hold its own graphically right now with what else is out there on the PlayStation 2. So I think it might have a hard time. I think it probably wouldn't be very successful if Sega were to release it over here. I know the hardcore Sega nerds would most definitely pick it up, but aside from that, I don't think it has huge mass market appeal like maybe Yakuza 3 would have on the PS3. So,
do you think Yakuza 3 has better, broader appeal than Yakuza 1 and 2?
I think the setting would actually make it more desirable. Like the whole, like,
ancient Japan or whatever.
Ancient Japan. I think that could be like quite a selling point for it, really. Because, their first two games is sort of, I don't know, the setting doesn't really appeal to some people, I think. I haven't actually played the game, to be honest, but most
people don't understand that whole piece of the Japanese culture, the Japanese mafia. I don't think most Americans can, are very familiar with the Yakuza and everything in Japan, so... It's kind of strange, but to me, the cool thing about Yakuza, the whole series to me, is almost like a spiritual successor to Shenmue in a way, and that's what I really liked about it. I just thought it was...
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that, actually. They've like, compared it to Shenmue quite a lot, so...
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Did you guys actually... Were you able to play the demo that was released on the PlayStation 3 Marketplace? For Yakuza 3?
I don't have a PlayStation 3.
Neither do I.
Neither does Grant. I'm the only one, and I did play it. And
I was post like an impression of it or something on the site.
It was released literally months ago, so I think at this point, it's I don't know.
Well, way to stay on the ball.
In Japan, when I was at the Tokyo Game Show, I saw a really good, like, long advert for Yakuza 3, and it does look damn good, I have to say. It was really impressive. Like the advert I saw was actually like nothing they've released on the internet, as far as I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the ones I've seen on the internet, they've got bits from the same sort of advert, but none of them have been as long or as good, really. It's just such a good effort. Well, I can't really go into full detail, but yeah, it was very impressive. So I reckon.
Yeah. So
I reckon it would have appeal over in America and like Europe and stuff. Just Sega have got to get their ass into gear, really.
Yeah. I guarantee it's going to make its way over here. So it's just a matter of time, I think. Especially with it selling so good over there, I think they're going to want to port it over.
That's the thing, though. That's what they thought with the first game, but it didn't happen. It's like the games over there not only have like really broad appeal, but apparently they're also really accurate, I guess, as far as like their representation of the actual gangs and stuff. So they have a lot of critical acclaim over there as well. But I mean, it's
right.
I don't think much of that translates well over here in America. That's one of the major problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear the Yakuza isn't too big in Omaha.
Well, I don't mean like that. There's just not the same kind of interest, unfortunately.
Right. Okay.
God damn
it. I hear you. Anyway. Moving on. Now we're going to go on to Graham and I. We actually interviewed a couple of the guys at Bizarre Creations, so we're going to roll that clip right now, and here's our interview with them.
Woo-hoo.
All right, guys, can you first off tell us your names and what your roles are at Bizarre?
Yeah, sure, okay. My name's Pete Collier. I was a level designer on the club. I make the Steel Mill and Manor House level.
My name is Stuart Rutter. I'm a web developer at Bizarre. I also handle the community side of things, write some news articles and various PR stuff relating to the club.
Okay. Not sorry, man.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got started in the gaming industry, and how you actually ended up working at Bizarre?
Oh, sure, okay. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. Well, mine was quite different to Pete's, I'm sure, because I was employed as a web developer, so my gaming background, I'm sure, wasn't as involved as Pete's. So, yeah, I was basically employed as a web developer, and it just so happened as one of my hobbies was video games, so it's a plus in that respect, you know?
Right.
You landed the ideal.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Well, mine was actually, like, as conventional as you can probably get, I imagine, because I literally, like, well, I've always been into computer games from a young age, from, like, in the Amiga, really. But I actually took a computer games design course, and completed that. And then I did an internship, actually, during my university at Reflections. I was on the FMV team for Driver 3.
Okay.
Okay, and then after university, I literally just like landed a job at Bizarre, and I've become through my time here become a designer. So that's it, really. That's my journey.
Oh, brilliant,
awesome.
Is designing actually something you wanted to do then, like when you first started?
Oh yeah, that's absolutely always wanted to be a designer. I think it's the dream of a lot of like guys, you know, like who are into computer games. They want to, you know, design them. It's always been a dream of mine, really, and it's just a matter of getting to that point, really. Not really there yet with level design, because you're not completely in control. You're just sort of it's a smaller part of a much bigger thing. But hopefully, eventually, get like to be chief game designer.
So yeah, you guys both said that you're gamers, right, first. So what games are you guys playing right now, and what could we find in your home consoles right now?
Well, I myself have just actually got a copy of The Club. been waiting on three copies for over a month now, so I'm sure you guys can play it for us, the developers. So that's what I've been doing.
Well, the retail version anyway. We've been playing
yeah.
Version for 2 years.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
far from complete, but
yeah. I've actually just been absolutely addicted to SWAS at the moment.
To what?
Central Water Soccer.
Oh, okay.
What was that? I didn't hear you.
SWAS, Central Water Soccer, but it's because it's just been recently converted to Xbox Live Arcade from like directly from the Amiga version. So I've just been absolutely addicted to that because it was one of my things that I was just really into as a kid.
Well, that's fantastic on the Amiga, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. And then the Xbox Live, being able to play across that, is just brilliant.
Yeah, gotcha.
Nice.
You know, I've been looking quite a bit around just throughout the internet, and it seemed like a lot of people were initially disappointed with the demo. And to be honest, Graham and I were a little bit too. But when we played the full version, we realized that it didn't seem like the demo was just a good reflection of what the full game was, because it seemed like it was just such a narrow part of what the full game was. So we wanted to figure out what your take was on that and what you thought of the demo.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the demo itself, I think what the club is all about is the leaderboards, and the fact that it didn't record onto the leaderboards on the demo was a massive thing against what the club is all about. So, you know, like, you're not going to get what it's about without the leaderboards. So I think, to be honest, I think that was the main contributing factor. Because once you're competing with your mates, all of a sudden, it all falls into place.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the competition is to beat the person above you on the leaderboards, and it just, the demo didn't, as we said, didn't have the leaderboards, so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you guys are enjoying the full game now, right?
Oh, yeah, the full game is wonderful. Actually, a few weeks ago, I've been writing for another website, PS3 Fanboy. It's part of the joystick.com family, and I reviewed it.
Yeah,
I reviewed it for them, and Graham reviewed the club for Sega Nerds, but I ended up I gave it an 8.5, and Graham gave it an 8, but I've been one of the big advocates for a long time, just telling people, look, if you played the demo and didn't like it, you know, just wash away whatever thoughts you had of it and play or rent the full game, because you'll be blown away. It's a wonderful game, and so I've been trying to get people just to go back, and if you had a bad experience with the demo, just to give the full game a try and get the full experience. So.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for being an advocate. We were just watching Graham, didn't find the option of a 9 out of 10.
And talking about the... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, carry on.
Okay. The leaderboards, that's a huge, huge part of the game, and I think that's a great... just a great idea that you guys did to include that. But one of the things that I thought would have been really, really cool is if... you would have made it to where we could upload videos of our playthrough along with the score and the leaderboard. Was that ever in the talks while you guys were making the game?
Well, we did actually originally have a feature in which you could actually have a breakdown of people's runs and would record a kind of a 2D sound representation of the of your run. And sort of where you had shot, what you actually was at that point, sort of cameras set up to record runs, but it's literally a matter of scheduling and running out of time. And in fact, actually, a good thing about the fact that we couldn't get that feature in really is it's been good advertising for us and good sort of exposure for the game, getting it on YouTube and seeing people's runs through on YouTube, and it's actually created a bit more publicity for the game being on YouTube, and sort of a bit more excitement about it than it may have been if it was just from the game itself.
One thing I wanted to ask, because we haven't really seen what the official sales numbers are of the game so far. But we know usually as a publisher and on Sega's front, they look at probably just the raw sales numbers as the main indicator whether a game is a success or a failure. But from your guys' point of view as developers, do you gauge that differently? Do you look at something else entirely, like maybe review scores or just word on the street or what you read on the internet on web forums and things like that? How do you guys personally gauge whether your game is a success or a failure?
Well, it's I mean, I guess it's always a matter of, like, creative way of looking at it as a sort of creative person and actual raw sales figures. You know, I think a publisher is always going to be probably more concerned with the bottom line at the end of the day. But, I mean, as a developer, you know, I'm really happy if critically it does well in reviews and things like that. You know, if it gets 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. I think we had a couple of 10 out of 10s for that, which is fantastic from a you know, my personal creative view as a developer. And, you know, that makes me happy. To be honest, you know, like, sales figures, I'm not really overly concerned about, as long as it's critically well accepted. I don't know what you think.
Okay. Having said that, can you guys give us an update though on what the game's current sales are?
I don't actually know. You know, like, I'm just a regular, you know, developer. I'm not like producer looking at the figures, really, to be honest. So,
Oh, so they don't keep you up to date with the sales and stuff of the games you make then?
Well, we will eventually, but I think it's because the first few weeks it's just it's not really covered, you know. Like, and we're also sort of busy on, you know, new projects and stuff like that now. So it's so the focus kind of shifts a little bit until some point.
Okay, going back to what you were saying, how like you guys personally, you like look at the reviews and stuff, and like if you see yourself getting like tens and stuff, you feel the game's doing well critically. Some of the reviews that I've read on the club, it seems like the reviewers actually like misunderstood the whole concept of the game. Like, there's one review that I read where it said the game was really fun, but it was too short, and you could complete it in a few hours. But what it seems is they didn't actually seem to understand that the whole idea is you're meant to replay the levels and try and get a perfect score and beat your friend scores and stuff. And I was just wondering, like, what if you had to like say anything to like these reviewers, like what would you actually say to help them understand more?
I mean, you know what, like, with these reviewers, I mean, obviously, like, it's, you know, their opinion, and there's no way of telling how much time they've given to the game. And I always said, you know, to other people working here and other journalists that I've spoken to before the game was released, I always said that I really, really hope they give it the proper time. It deserves to, like, play it amongst each other in the office. And there was always a danger with this game that it was hard to market because of what it, you know, it's about, and the emphasis isn't on the story. And there's always that danger that some reviewers might perceive it as a game about story and just sort of flip over the game, you know, and with a sort of quick playthrough and then write the review up. It's hard to say, but I think. It is a shame if they haven't all the way through it and haven't got it, but, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I guess that's what it's all about. You know, it always has been one of those games, it's love or hate. You know, some people like it, some people hate it, you know, so we're just happy that some people love it.
That's good, yeah. Well, we definitely
what I personally liked about it is I felt that, and this is one of the main points I made in my review of the game, was that it almost went back to the golden age of what gaming was all about. Back when, you know, no one really cared that much about graphics or anything else. It was all about scores. And it was, the gameplay was always very simple. You know, is just shoot as many people as you can, or, you know, kill as many aliens and that kind of thing, and just try to get your score up as high as possible. And that to me was just great. I loved how simple, the concept of the game was, yet it could be very complex into, as far as, you know, all the different weapons you could use and all different characters that you can get into. So, you know, it's easy to get into, but, you know, yet again, it can be very complex as far as, you know, how far you want to get into the game and, you know, everything that goes involved with that. I thought that it was really cool. So.
Yeah, well, that's really good to hear. You talk about it in that way, you know, like, definitely, I think there's something that's, I think, said this when Graham was at the Sega event before, you know, it's a very, you know, like, pure gaming experience in terms of, like, it's that pursuit of the perfect score,
right.
And it does kind of hark back to those, you know, arcade days where, you know, you wanted to be the guy at the top of the leaderboard.
Exactly.
And yeah, definitely. I think it is in some ways. It is like almost a strategy game, because once you get to the point where you've got really, really high scores, you do have to really think about your route, the way you approach the level, your timing about when you decide to shoot a guy in the head in order to get the optimum run through a level. And that's something very, very pure and very addictive for us as gamers, just in general as humans, the pursuit of perfection is, which I think we're tapping into something there in the club, with that. What do you think, Stu, on that?
Totally agree. Yeah.
It's quite funny actually. Just before we started this whole thing, when Chris and I were talking, he was actually saying how he dropped down a few ranks in the world ranking with one of his scores. And you're saying you want to go back and do it again?
Yeah, at one point I was ranked ninth in one of the I think it was Siege of the Slum or Siege for the Slum.
The warehouse.
Yeah, in the warehouse, and I was ranked ninth at one point. It was about a week ago, and I checked back a couple days ago. I dropped down to 11th, and so I was kind of upset about that. So hopefully I can.
Have you guys had any competition we're currently running on the website?
No, we haven't yet. We're waiting for a little bit until the game released over here, and some more of our members were able to get the game. So that's definitely something we're going to be looking into doing a little bit once some more people get the game.
When's the deadline for that competition?
It's not too far off. I think the scores have been set already. I mean, it's something like 4.5 million.
It's 4,800,000. It's a good level to do it on the competition because it's a really, really quick, sort of quite simple level. And yet, even though it's really quick and really simple, there's like infinite amounts of different strategies of people trying to eke out the slightly better score. So what levels are you? Are you both? What do you enjoy most? Which levels?
I'd probably say the mansion and the one that's like a ship.
Yeah, I like the ship a whole lot.
That's one of my ones, but I think Stu Jackson, one of the other level designers, the ocean liner.
Yeah.
I like some of the team games on the ocean liner. The team skull shot one on that's really, really fun.
I haven't actually given that a try yet. I haven't actually played online with it that much, to be honest. I haven't had the time.
Well, if someone's mobile.
I think that could possibly be mine. Never mind.
I had another quick question. You guys said that a lot of people have been uploading videos to YouTube to show their run-throughs. Have you seen anything in some of those videos that people are doing that you might not have expected people, either a tactic or something like that that you guys never thought of in that, using in that way or something like that? Has there been anything that surprised you in seeing some of these videos?
Even for this competition we're running at the moment, I mean, people have uploaded guides to the level video to help each other out. I mean, there's one guy at the top at the minute with just over 4.5 million. He's actually uploaded a guide throughout the level to show how to achieve the best score and, the best kill shots and that. I mean, it's really helped people out, I think.
It's a real collaborative effort.
Of course.
To a certain point, and then it comes down to just like getting that headshot just for the right amount of time. I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you just type in the club on YouTube, it come back with a flood of videos of pretty much all the levels, showing the best routes and the best way to achieve your scores. I mean, it's something which has really driven the community.
I think definitely seeing videos and stuff like that, and actually seeing people play it for the first time, like at the Sega event a few months back. It's weird as a designer, literally like designing the level and designing gameplay and stuff. And then I usually in development would always have my set route that I do throughout the level, and I just out of habit I would always do the same way of doing it. And then it's, so then it's weird when you see people afterwards just playing it, approaching it in a completely different way, and it's actually really scary as a designer, because often, you know, you're really like putting all your faith in the fact that the testers in QA have like really thoroughly tried all the different routes as well. So, because quite often in development, in the testing, they'll just try a completely different way and they'll just break everything. So, usually with a bit of a, you know, like the trepidation that I look at videos on YouTube and then see the way in which they do things.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. One question I think a lot of people wanted to ask was when the PC version of the game was released, they didn't have the product keys with them. Do you guys know what happened with that? Like the product keys weren't sent out with the PC version of the game?
Yeah, I'm not actually sure on the sort of specifics of any technical issues. I mean, I would say that, you know, if anyone is still having problems with that, it's just to contact Sega Tech Support, because it's going to be some kind of issue on that end.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, as a developer, I'm just, you know, I'd make the game and then...
Yeah, that's Sega's cock-up, yeah?
Well, you know, maybe. But just contact Sega Tech Support and they'll put you straight on that.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Another question that some people sort of have brought up and I've seen on like lots of other sites is the PlayStation 3 version of the game doesn't seem to support any voice chat.
Yeah, that's right. That sort of issue, that was actually, you know, down to various sort of technical design issues and sort of schedule restraints. You know, we agreed with Sega that, you know, these features wouldn't be ever included on the PS3. It's unfortunately, it's down to, like, you know, schedule restraints and the amount of time we have left on things to do that kind of thing.
Okay. So when you guys actually made the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 versions, did you make them very much separately from each other then?
Well, I mean, we've always been a sort of originally coming from Gotham, a very sort of 360 sort of centralized company, because, you know, it was for Microsoft, it was this sort of exclusive to Microsoft with the Gotham series. So our tech is very much sort of very... got a lot of experience with the 360 version.
Yeah.
The matter of then working on the PS3 version, not afterwards, but towards the later stage and converting it to the PS3, but there were no real problems with that. I mean, as I say, like, as a designer, I'm not really like privy to all those kind of technical issues again.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
It's, I guess I'm the sort of very creative designer on that side of things, rather than, you know, the programming specifics.
Yeah. When you guys were actually making the game, did you ever consider like making a Wii version of it, like with stripped down graphics or whatever? Did the Wii ever come onto the table?
You know what? I've always thought it would work well on Wii in some respects, in the respect that with you know, the Wiimote, it would be, you know, like quite a fun thing, you know, skill wise, using it like virtual cops sort of style, you know, with the light gun. But a great deal of the strategy is involved in your movement and the route that you specifically take. And with the Wii, I'm pretty sure it would probably have to be on rails in order to work. I mean, I haven't given it, you know, what do you guys think?
Have you played Link's Crossbow on the Wii? It's came with the Wii Zapper. It's a little bonus game thing. Link's Crossbow.
Okay.
There's some like, actual modes in it which remind me a lot of the club, where you're actually in a third person view and you run around with Link like completely free, and the whole idea is to actually tally up a score, like hit all the enemies in a row and build up your points. So it's actually quite a lot like the club. It's just a small version though. So when I actually played that though, that's sort of what made me get more excited about the club, because it came out before the club. And after playing that, I actually got really excited for the game, and I was just thinking that. I was thinking that a Wii version could be actually be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was just wondering if, like, if a Wii version was ever thought of at the time.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure not from a technical, because a lot of, because what happens is that, you know, the platforms are agreed on right from the start,
yeah.
And then once the platforms, you don't really there's no need to go into the specifics with it. But I can definitely see the fun that could be derived from it being on the Wii. But, you know, unfortunately, it's a closed book now because, you know, we're with Activision and the Club 2, we can't make it. So yeah. Maybe if there is a Club 2, that might be a possibility. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's actually something I wanted to get you guys to talk about also. You know, if Sega were to go ahead and make a sequel, like you said, we know you guys won't be able to do it since you're with Activision now. But if you were able to develop a sequel, what kind of things would you include in the game, in the sequel, and what would you look to improve upon in the first game?
Okay, yeah, well, there's a few things which I think it could really, really be cool, and that's providing more subtlety in the different strategies you can employ whilst playing through the levels. So I think right now you've got sort of things like the roll, the headshot, snapshot, you know those things.
Right.
And I think you could go even further with that and actually make it really, really strategic and have things like if you shoot an enemy at the top of the stairs and able to kill him as he's sort of rolling down the stairs, perhaps you get more points. So it's for drama, so it's almost like more kind of kudos points, you know, like combat points, skill points for killing guys in a kind of ingenious and skillful way.
Okay.
You got any thoughts on what could be improved or there's definitely ways in which it could be improved in that respect, I think. Making the strategic element of the game, you know, even more pronounced than it is now.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of people do mistake it for just a story sort of, you know, shoot away through, but if they really, and I think also thinking about it, the styling, maybe I think it could be more arena, sort of arenification, if that's a word, in which, you know, like actually like make it more extreme and more kind of dramatic, and make it not necessarily so emphasized on photorealism, but more kind of not cartoonish, but more exaggerated.
More over the top, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that working.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. One of the things that I was extremely impressed with when I played through the game, it seemed that so much of the focus was on the single player mode, and racking up the points. But when I played online, I really was very, very impressed with just how well the game played and how much fun it was. And it seems like, it's crazy because it seems like so much focus from everyone has been on the single-player mode, but you guys really did a good job on the multiplayer mode, too. So I just wanted to get you guys to talk about what you thought of the multiplayer mode and how happy you all were with how it ended up coming out.
Well, that's really, really cool for a start that you are really enjoying the multiplayer mode because, I mean, we, as developers, really enjoyed ourselves. Playing on multiplayer as well. I mean, my Mana Team Siege level, it's like a lot of people here were playing it. It was just like I really enjoyed that map myself. And a lot of the team goal shot matches, really like there's a lot of strategy involved in them, and like working together well as a team in order to win and stuff. So that's really, really cool that you're enjoying the multiplayer side of things. The fact, really, a lot of the game is essentially one big multiplayer game anyway. I mean, the single-player game, yeah, it's called single-player campaign, but because it's linked up with, you know, your friend's leaderboards and everything like that, then it essentially is a multiplayer game in that respect anyway.
That's true. But,
really psyched that you're enjoying the multiplayer side.
Okay, now that you guys are done with the club, where are you guys going from here? Can you kind of tell us a little bit what you're working on?
We can't actually know because it's all very locked down right now.
We promise we won't tell anyone.
we're happy with Activision working on our next projects, but we can't talk about that right now, unfortunately. Sorry, guys.
Okay, I understand. Lastly, I don't know if you guys are aware of BioWare's upcoming Sonic Chronicles RPG.
For the Nintendo DS.
Yeah, for the DS.
I'm not.
Well, they're coming out with a Sonic RPG, and a lot of the Sega community is very excited for it. But Sega actually is holding a contest right now where they're letting a lot of the community sites create a name for the evil race that's going to be in the game. And Sega asked Sega nerds to give one of the names, and now everyone, it's open for voting now. All the names that there's 7 or 8 names that people are voting on.
What have they come up with so far? Some examples.
Here's what we want to do. We're going to read off the names. Ours is included somewhere in here, and we want you guys to tell us what you think is the coolest sounding name.
Okay,
here we go.
Should you describe what the enemy looks like first?
Okay, yeah, you tell them how the enemy looks like.
If you haven't seen the picture, it's kind of hard. They're like, they almost look like really big robots, but they're like energy-based. They've got like a sort of electricity flowing through them. And the whole idea is that they're not actually meant to be robots. They're actually meant to be an alien life form that use sort of armor around them. But they sort of look a bit like robots. And one of their arms is like a big giant crystal, but it's actually their weapon. And they like charge it up and fire a laser or something out of them. And they're sort of, but their armor is blue, and like they've got the electricity sort of around them is all blue as well. So hopefully that'll give you a little bit of an idea of like what they sort of look like.
Okay, you can read off the names because it might be easier for.
Okay, okay, we're doing alphabetical order. Okay, there's Blue Chaos. The names are the name of the actual whole race. It's not just the name of LBA character, by the way. So it's a whole race. Okay. So there's the Blue Chaos, the Crushers, the Dark Nude. The Dark Nude.
I want these down as you read them out, by the way.
Okay. The Dusk.
The Dusk?
Yeah. As in, like... You know, when the sun's sort of setting or whatever. the Gravitus.
Okay.
The Guardians. The Ice Bow.
The what?
The Ice Bow.
Ice Bow?
Yeah, like ice and then B-O at the end. The Psycore, which is a Psykore. And then the Zoa.
Zoa. Okay. Right. What do you think, Stu, on initial impressions?
I'm feeling a bit of a dark mood, I think.
We're just sort of scanning over these written down now.
Well, Guardian sounds a bit overused.
Guardian is a bit... I just wanted to yours, guys. Guardian sounds a bit, I don't know, a bit cliche. Maybe.
Yeah.
Zoa sounds quite good. It's quite futuristic.
Do you know what the first thing came to mind when we said Zoa was sort of African kind of, that kind of cultural sort of tribal thing?
Yeah.
How tribal are the sort of this evil race in the game?
Yeah. Alright. That's our name, the Zoa. That was our pick.
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah,
that worked out.
Actually, hey, Graham, tell them the significance of the name though too.
The Zoa is sort of actually like it's an ode to Panzer Dragoon Saga. Don't know if you guys know about that. It's an old Saturn game.
Yeah,
it's actually the name of a forest within the game. It's just like, it's for Sega fans, basically. It's like a it's like an homage to the game, really.
Well, I'm sure they'll like that element of it. Yeah, so that's well, isn't it?
All right, so we got their vote.
Yeah, I quite like Blue Chaos as well, just because it evokes straight away an image of kind of like sort of chaos.
Yes.
I think Zera is probably the best one now, actually. Yeah.
Does that mean you guys are going to vote for us?
Yeah, oh god, yeah.
That means the whole of Bizarre Creations is going to have to vote for us now, every single person.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's pretty much all we have, guys, but is there anything else you'd like to say, you know, to any of the fans or anything else like that to maybe say to the community?
Well, just, you know, if you played the game, thanks for buying it. You know, like, if you're enjoying it, that's fantastic. You know, I'm just happy to hear that people are playing it and enjoying it, to be honest. So, thanks for your support, guys, as well. You know, I'm glad you liked it and your reviews and gave it a good score and stuff. So, yeah, that's about it, really. Stu, have you got anything to say?
Okay, guys.
Cheers, guys.
All right,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being with us. I appreciate it. You know, I think it's about time to start winding down the Nerdcast now. Nathan, why don't you take us on into the home stretch here?
Okay. One of the things that we've been working on for a while at Sega Nerds is we're trying to get a new design finished for the site, because our current one isn't that great, to be honest. And we've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes too. Like, we had to change hosts because of some issues with our old one, and we probably will have to move again soon. And so I've been trying to take care of all those issues as we jump around and try not to lose anything in the process.
Yeah.
And I think some people actually did get a look at the new design at some point when it we made it live for a short while, right? I think somebody did that. And then we took it back down because, I'm sorry, but the new design isn't, like, completely ready yet. Still has quite a bit of bug testing to do, so it'll go up when we're done with it, and I hope that none of our readers are too upset that they saw it and then had it taken away from them again.
Something to look forward to. Nice taste.
Right, is there an estimated time we think that it might be up?
I hope that we can get it all finished, like, within this week during my spring break when I have time to work on it.
Okay.
Hopefully very soon.
You've actually got some good sleep, yeah, afterwards?
Yeah, maybe, that too. And another thing that we're trying to push forward on is we want to change the way that we write reviews at our site. I think that there are a lot of issues with the current review format and system, and the rating system especially. So I've been writing up a proposal and reasons why I don't like a 10-point scale for scoring. And so I think I might actually post that on the site when I'm finished with it. But one of the things is that, or there's a lot of reasons, but I think we're going to change the format radically, and I think it'll be a lot easier to understand, and I think it'll be better for the readers.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's important. So yeah, I think this about wraps up.
Oh, I've got one thing.
Nerdcast this week.
I've got one thing.
Oh,
to
yeah,
say.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I've got to apologize to several people. if you don't know, recently we had a big New Year's contest, New Year's giveaway, where we gave away several different bundles of prizes, ranging from PC games, Xbox 360, DS and PSP, and also, like, some Sega Saturn stuff, including, like, Panzer Dragoon Saga and Knights and stuff for the Japanese versions. Apologies for the winners here, that I haven't actually sent out any of the prizes yet. I've been pretty lame on that front. The other day I was actually going to send it off last weekend, and I got to the post office about 5 minutes too late because they just closed. So I wasn't actually able to send off the prize packages, and this weekend I just haven't had a chance. So hopefully in the next week, or by next weekend, I should have sent them off. So yeah,
but
sorry.
You didn't get any angry emails from our winners?
I've had a couple of people talk to me on MSN going, so, you sent those prizes out yet? And yeah, sorry. Sorry, guys. I haven't forgotten about it.
Soon.
But yeah, just apologies to everyone there. Sorry.
So did all of the winners, did they actually all contact you then?
They all sent their addresses to me, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, they've
all contacted me with their addresses and, well, contact details, whatever. So, I've got everyone's details. I just, Okay, anyway. I'm rubbish.
Okay, yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
All right. Yep. All right, so there we go. That's this week's Nerdcast. We're ready to head out of here, and I hope you guys had a good time hanging out with us tonight. So, wait till the next Nerdcast. Hopefully it won't be too long in between. And we'll catch you next time. All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Try to believe, though the